Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. I've opened my Bible once again to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I invite you to join me as we continue our study of the book of Ecclesiastes, an often overlooked Old Testament book simply because it is sometimes difficult to understand. And so, with God's help and grace, we want to improve our understanding of this book. I would not claim to understand every aspect, every word, every thought perfectly, not at all. But I do think a careful examination of this book can bring us a pretty clear idea of what Solomon, the human author of the book, was communicating and what the Spirit of God, who was guiding and guarding him in that communication, wants us to understand from this study. And so that's why we are plowing ahead. And we have come to the end of chapter 2, and we have come to a preliminary conclusion. And in many ways, it really is a very excellent conclusion for the entire book. But of course, the final conclusion doesn't come until chapter 12, and here we are in chapter 2. But Solomon has helped us to get everything oriented in a Godward direction by bringing us to this preliminary conclusion at the end of chapter 2. And we started into that on the broadcast yesterday, and we'd like to continue with it again today. And maybe, we'll see, but maybe bring chapter 2 to a close so that we can move on to into chapter 3. At any rate, we're going to plow in again on this Tuesday, July 21. We're glad that God ordained for you to join us at this time, and we're thankful for those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Now, I've got to back up for those who may not be regular listeners and explain that the book of Ecclesiastes, the very title, the name Ecclesiastes means the preacher, is a record by King Solomon, son of David, king of Jerusalem, author of the book of Proverbs, author of the Song of Solomon. But it is a record of his investigation into many of the areas of life that people look to for happiness, for satisfaction, for fulfillment. And he has the resources to do that because he's immensely wealthy. And he has the freedom to do that because he's the king. And so there's really no higher authority on earth that can restrain him from pursuing these studies. And so one by one, he explores the different things that people enjoy or think are going to bring enjoyment to them in life. And he concludes that most of them come up short, some of them entirely and others significantly. Some of them he will concede give a certain measure of satisfaction, but very limited, very, very transitory, very fleeting, and not much value in much of anything, really, in life. That's the way it comes across. You go through all of these categories, and you come to the end, and you say, well, is there anything? And that brings us to the conclusion, where he shows us that indeed there are things that bring a great deal of satisfaction in life if we're focused on the one main thing. And you probably already know what that is, but, and I'm sure you do if you were with us yesterday, but I'll save that until we get back to it again in a moment. And so in chapter 2, he explores different areas of personal pleasure and wealth, and he finds that they come up short. Oh yes, there's a measure of satisfaction in those, but they are fleeting. He explores the arena of wisdom and knowledge, an area that some people are convinced adds a great deal of value to life. And Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, says, nope, that really doesn't have much advantage to it either, surprisingly. And thirdly, he comes to the area of human labor and what can be achieved by working hard. And he says that too comes up short, that the burdens of life really don't produce what people think they will as they work hard in order to achieve things, but the effort outweighs the benefit. And the trials and burdens and difficulties which this effort produces pretty much cancel out any benefits that people might otherwise achieve from them. And so it's no wonder that in coming to this kind of conclusion that we hear this refrain throughout the book, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, because that's basically what Solomon is saying. None of these things produce anything of value unless, and that brings us now to the conclusion, unless our main focus is upon God. And if our main focus is upon God, then many of these things, not all of them, but many of these things that he has explored will actually bring a great measure of satisfaction, but only incidentally, because they can only bring satisfaction as God is our primary focus, our primary purpose for living. Our main goal in life is in getting to know him and to serve him and worship him. And if that be the case, then we can receive many of these things as good gifts from God, and we can legitimately enjoy them. But once we set our hopes upon them, once we fix our hearts upon them, then they become a substitute god. In fact, an idol, a false god, that we are endeavoring to derive satisfaction from, when God, who created us, made us in such a way that we can only derive satisfaction in him. And so if we are attempting to achieve it in something else, we are doomed to failure. We are designed in such a way that we can only derive happiness, fulfillment, satisfaction, whatever you want to call it. We can only find that in God himself. And if we refuse to pursue it, happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment, in anything else except in our pursuit of God, then we are going to end up being disappointed. It'll prove to be a dead-end street. Now, hear the conclusion again, chapter 2, verses 24 and following. And I say again, we haven't read this on the broadcast today, but we did yesterday. But here's what we read. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. I'm going to repeat here a little bit what I said yesterday, but this is what he's saying. Earlier in the chapter, he said labor comes up short. Hard work and what it accomplishes, what it achieves, what it accumulates, does not bring satisfaction. Now, in this verse, he says, well, it does. It's a good gift from God. And that seems to be a contradiction, but no. The solution to that apparent contradiction is, in the first place, that labor was entered into as its own goal, apart from any thought of God, and that proved to be nothing. That proved to be unsatisfactory, that it proved to be disappointing. But when God is the main focus of our life, and then these things come into our lives as a secondary matter, they're really incidental. It's not what we were living for. It's not what we were pinning our hopes upon. It's not what we were focusing upon. But we're focusing upon God and worshiping and serving and pleasing Him. And from the good hand of the God that we are serving, we receive some of these temporal benefits from our labors. Then we can legitimately enjoy them as the gift of God. They come from the hand of God. And so he says, going on in verse 25, for who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? He who is presumably, and I think for at least the majority of his life, was really set on honoring God, serving God. Now, there were times when he got derailed, as we know. Solomon got off the track at times, and that proved to be to his sorrow. But as long as he was focusing on God, then his life was fulfilling. And all of these other things, and he was immensely wealthy and had great fame and prestige and all of the things that many people consider to be the crowning achievements of life. He had them all, but they only brought satisfaction as they were viewed as secondary, as incidental, as not the main purpose in life at all. They were simply the things that God gave along the way, just the little extras. And he said, I really enjoyed those. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? Verse 26, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting so that he may give it to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. This thought comes up from time to time, namely, that the person who labors intensely in a very labor-intensive, hard-working, disciplined, goal-oriented way of achieving things for himself, the person who does this without reference to God is actually accumulating all these things for somebody else. He's doing the work, and God's going to give them as gifts to someone else who's pleasing to him. That's a very interesting thought, but that's what Solomon says here in the conclusion, and that's exactly what we observe many times in life. So the conclusion is this: every good gift in life comes from God, and it must be viewed that way. And God bestows good gifts upon those who live for Him. But God withholds temporal enjoyments from those who live for themselves. People living for these things, these pleasures, these possessions, don't get any enjoyment out of them. People who live for God get these same pleasures, these same possessions, as an extra benefit which they can enjoy because they're not making them the main focus of enjoyment in life. That's the point. That's the conclusion. The conclusion is serve God, and you will enjoy life fully. But if you pursue the enjoyments of life by themselves, you will find they are but dust. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.